Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Thereafter, in the 17th incarnation of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati through Parashara Muni, and he divided the one Veda into several branches and sub-branches, seeing that the people in general were less intelligent. Purport. Originally the Veda is one, but Srila Vyasadeva divided the original Veda into four, namely Sama, Yajur, Rig, Atharva, and then again they were explained in different branches like the Puranas and the Mahabharata. Vedic language and the subject matter are very difficult for ordinary men. They are understood by the highly intelligent and self-realized Brahmanas. But the present age of Kali is full of ignorant men. Even those who are born by a Brahmana father are in the present age no better than the Shudras or the women. The twice-born men, namely the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, are expected to undergo a cultural purification process known as samskaras. But because of the bad influence of the present age, the so-called members of the Brahmana and other higher order families are no longer highly cultured. They are called the Dvijabandhus, or the friends and family members of the twice-born. But these Dvijabandhus are classified amongst the Shudras and the women. Srila Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches for the sake of the less intelligent classes like the Dvijabandhus, Shudras and women. Om Atnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminati Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're reading in continuation of the description of the various incarnations of the Lord in chapter 3. Please forgive me, I have not been able to prepare this verse properly because I'm acting as a stand-in. Last evening, Nishkanchana Prabhu told me the devotee who was meant to give the class today was not able to make it. So I got home late last night and early morning, 5 a.m., I was just jotting down a few notes. So it's a beautiful verse and it's in continuation of the description of the incarnations, which was a response to a specific question asked by the 88,000 sages of Naimisharanya headed by Shaunaka. They asked 6 questions in the first chapter of Bhagavatam. 4 of those questions were responded to in the second chapter, and in the third chapter the other 2 questions are being replied to. So the various incarnations of the Lord are being spoken about, and towards the end it will be said that amongst all of these, Krishna himself is the supreme. He is the origin of all of these incarnations. So this conversation is between Shaunaka and Suta. The first canto has 19 chapters. The 19 chapters can be divided into 3 sections. The first 3 chapters discuss the conversation between Suta and Shaunaka and the 88,000 rishis. The second section, which is the next 3 chapters, they discuss the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. And the remaining chapters discuss conversations or how Parikshit Maharaj happened to get relieved of all his material duties and surrender unto the Lord by meeting Shukadev. So Parikshit Shukadev, Narada Vyas and Shaunaka Suta. So speaker and listener, that is why the Acharyas like Sridhar Swami, Veer Raghavacharya and others have called this canto as the canto of Adhikar or Adhikari. Who is an Adhikari? To speak Bhagavatam, and who is an Adhikari? To hear Bhagavatam. That is defined in this canto. So we are on the third chapter, and I would like to go through almost every line, because there are four lines in this verse which are all distinct. It's not always the case, but this verse has it that way. Tataha saptadashe jataha. Jataha. The Acharyas emphasize on the word jataha, means they were born. So these expansions have been created by the Lord. They have expanded from the Lord. Satyavatyam parasharat. Vyasadeva appeared in the womb of Satyavati. He was known as Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa in the middle of Kalindi River. Kalindi is Yamuna. In the boat, Parasharmani glanced at Satyavati. Simply by his glance, a cloud formed around them. Yes, it is very mystical. And Satyavati, who was known as Matsyagandha, got impregnated simply by his glance. And after being impregnated, within few moments, Vyasadeva appeared, not out of the womb, but simply appeared in front of them. And he was fully grown man. And all of this happened in the middle of the Kalindi River as they were crossing from one bank to another. Yeah, so this is how Vyasadeva appeared. So because he appeared in a dvipa, as if on an island, as if in the middle of the river, he is called as Dvaipayana. Because he is an incarnation of Krishna, he is called as Krishna. Or because he is dark, he is called as Krishna. And the next sentence tells us why he is called as Vyasa. Chakre Veda Taro Shakha. Originally, as Prabhupada says in the purport, the Vedas were one big literature, and they were sliced into four by Vyasadev. The act of slicing in Sanskrit is called Vyasta. Vyasta means to be sliced or divide. So since he divided Vedan Vyastat Vyasa Namaha, because he divided the Vedas, his name is Vyasa. So Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. And then one may ask, why did he divide the Vedas? What was the need? So he divided the Vedas, it is said. He divided the Vedas because the last line explains why. Drishtva, having seen, Pumsaha, people in general, Alpamedasaha. Alpamedasaha, little intelligent, less intelligent. People in general had become less intelligent to receive this one big literature. Sometimes some devotees, they approach me and say, can you tell me in gist what is Bhagavatam? Divide into, you know, nice chunks and tell us what is Bhagavatam. Because sometimes it's easier when we divide things and, you know, divide and conquer. Although we can never conquer Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And one can never conquer Krishna, materially speaking. Spiritually, yes, we can. Spiritually, we can conquer Krishna, yes. Okay. Vyasadeva is a Shaktavesh avatar, Shakti Avesh. He in whom the Shakti has been invested. Like our Srila Prabhupada is a Shakti Avesh avatar of the Lord, which means a living entity in whom the Lord has given unimaginable, he showered his unimaginable infinite grace on that living entity. And that is Vyasadev. There are other Shaktyavesh avatars. Any other names of Shaktyavesh avatar from Bhagavatam? Parshuram, Sanakadi Rishi are mentioned as Shaktyavesh, the four Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj is mentioned as Shaktyavesh avatar. So these are examples of Shaktyavesh avatar. Now, how did he divide the Vedas? What was this division of the Vedas? Four Vedas. We all know what the four Vedas are. Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva. So actually somebody might ask, you are talking about Bhagavatam, but is there a description about the Vedas and the divisions of the Vedas and all the details of the Vedas in Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is meant to discuss the sum and substance of Vedanta. So does it have all that historical information as well? Yes, it does. In the 12th canto, chapter 6, mentions how Vyasadeva and all his disciples, they sliced the Vedas. And in fact, even after slicing them into four, it was not enough. So they had to be divided further into many, 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 many branches. The word here is very beautiful. It says, Chakre Veda Taroho Shakha. Taru means a tree. Imagine it was a tree without branches. So what did Vedavyas do? He sliced the tree, or not really sliced in the sense of tearing it apart, but he converted a tree into its branches. So you can see the trunk of the tree is there, and then there are branches. And there are many, many branches. There's a beautiful analogy hidden within this verse. The one tree of Veda was then by Vyasadeva made into several branches, starting with four branches and then many infinite number of branches that come out. So the 12th canto, 6th chapter says that Rig Veda is known as Bahurcha because it has many, many mantras. Richa means mantra, and it has many, many mantras. That is why it's called Bahurcha. And Rig Veda was given to a disciple of Vyasadeva called Paila. Yajur Veda is also called as Nigada. Nitaram Gadayati iti Nigada, which means that which is constantly sung. And Yajur Veda was given to Vaishampayana. Vaishampayana is the personality who related the Mahabharata to Janmejaya, the son of Parikshit. Samaveda is also called as Chandoga because it contains it is littered with very wonderful chandas which are to be sung. And the last is the Chandoga or Samaved was given to Jaimini, and Atharvaved was given to Sumantu. So these were the disciples of Vyasadeva who received these Vedas. Okay, so these are all factual information. Now we go into the purport and a few other interesting statements made by Prabhupada. So one might ask, why were the Vedas divided? What was the basis of the division of the Vedas? So again, in the 12th canto, 6th chapter, verse 47, it says that people in general in this age have three qualities, which is the reason why the Vedas were divided. Kshinayushaha kshinasattvan. The lifespan of people is very, very short. And the strength to do things is very little. We are not as strong as the previous yugas. Durmedhan, not intelligent at all. It's like somebody abusing us. Viksha kalataha, because of time. Vedan brahmarisho vyasyan. These brahmarishis, they cut the Vedas. Hridistha chyuta choditaha. Achyuta Chodita, which means, on what basis were these Vedas divided? They were divided as inspired by Achyuta in the heart of these rishis. That is why every single richa, every single mantra of the Veda has a rishi or a rishika, a male or a female rishi who is assigned to that mantra. The origin of that understanding is here in Bhagavatam. Why every mantra has a rishi associated? Because it was revealed by Achyuta in the heart of those rishis. And Vyasadeva, after composing these Vedas, was he satisfied? No. So what did he do next? He composed the Puranas. Puranas are meant to complete the Vedas. Vedan purayati iti purano. Madhvacharya has a very nice description of Purana. He says that which Purana means to fill or to complete. Vedan purayati, that which completes the Vedas are the Puranas. And after compiling all the Puranas, Vyasadeva was still not happy. Because people in this age, they like to do one thing, which is extremely rampant. You see, the biggest companies in the modern day, they are all centered around information exchange. Whether it's chat, like WhatsApp, or Google, which is a search engine, you see, Facebook, it's all about information, it's all about... People are interested in nothing but Gramya Katha. Everyone is simply interested in what's going on in other people's life. What's going on with everyone else. So, Vyasadeva thought, since people in general are now only interested in hearing about other people's business, let me write a literature which is aimed at these people who are going to be attracted by hearing about other people's business. What is that literature? Which talks about so many things. It talks about different relationship between different people, and it's a wonderful literature. Mahabharata. Mahabharata. Yes, Prabhu, he said something. Mahabharata, yeah. Because Mahabharata, you have relationship between husband and wife and friends and family and fights within family and, you know, support within family and sub-family groups and so many different personalities interacting. So when Vidura, he's leaving the house of Dhritarashtra and he leaves Hastinapur and he goes on to all the pilgrimage places, he meets Maitreya. And at that time, Vidura is telling Maitreya, please tell me the goal of life. But in one of, as part of the conversation, there's a beautiful verse in third canto, this is fifth chapter, verse 12. He says, Vidura is telling Maitreya, and Maitreya is a good friend of Vyasadeva. Very good friend. They are very close friends, Maitreya and Vyas. So Vidura is telling Maitreya, Munir Vivakshur Bhagavad Gunanam. This Muni, Vyasadeva, he desired to glorify the Lord. Sakhapite Bharatam Aha Krishna. And therefore, your Sakha, your friend, Vyas, he wrote this Bharata. Bharata is the old name of Mahabharata. Your friend wrote Mahabharata because he wanted to glorify Krishna. यस्मिन् नृणाम् ग्राम्य सुखानुवादै. थ्रू दिस महाभारत ही वॉन्टेड टू अट्रैक्ट ऑर्डिनरी पीपल हु आर इंटरेस्टेड इन वॉट ग्राम्य सुखानुवादै, हु आर सिंपली इंटरेस्टेड इन विलेज टॉक. यू नो वॉट इज विलेज टॉक? They sit on the crossroads and they all chat. Oh, I saw this person go out from this person's house. Oh, he has been around for, you know, he's been coming very often. We wonder what the business is, you know. This is Gramya Anuvadaihi. The whole purpose of Mahabharata is to attract those people who are always attracted with other people's business. To attract them. See, we will tell you. There is so much discussion about other people's business here. Please come, listen to this, Mahabharata. Why? Matir Grihita. He had a secret agenda, Vyasadeva. Matir Grihita. Through the attraction towards other people's business, he wrote this Mahabharata. But anyone who reads Mahabharata, his intelligence will be drawn Nu Hare Kathayam to Hari. So he added Hari in the whole picture of Mahabharata. That is the whole purpose of Mahabharata. So this is the, and actually Srila Prabhupada says, if you read the translation, Prabhupada's translation, he says that the entire purpose of Mahabharata is what? To bring the people who read the Mahabharata to just one particular text of 700 verses, which is the Bhagavad Gita. The whole Mahabharata, 100,000 verses are written to bring these people who are generally interested in so many things to the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. But even after writing Mahabharata, he was not happy. And when in Shamyaprash he was not happy, he was dejected, sitting on the banks of the Ganges. At that time, Narad Muni, his guru, appeared. And Narad Muni told him that although you have written all these literatures, I consider all your attempt to be manyate tat khilam. Khilam means imperfect. I consider all your attempt to write the Veda, divide the Vedas, and then write the Vedanta as a commentary on the understanding of the Vedas, and then writing all the Puranas, and then writing the Mahabharata, all of this, I simply consider khilam, defective. So Vyasadeva says, yes, you have read my heart. So please tell me, what should I do? So Narada tells Vyas, first canto, 5th chapter, verse 13. He says, and in fact, this is a very beautiful verse because this is the only verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that talks about the five characteristics of Vyasadeva. Atho Mahabhaga Bhavanamogadrik. O Mahabhaga, O great personality, you are Amogadrik. Your vision is perfect. Shuchishrava Satyarato Dhritavrataha. Suchi Shravaha, your fame is pure. Satyarato, you are always dedicated to the truth. Dhritavrataha, and you have taken firm vow of helping the people in general to approach the Lord. These are the five qualities of Vyasadeva. Urukramasya khilabandha muktaye. Please describe the glories of Urukrama, Krishna, Bandha Muktaye, which will help people to get out of this bandhana. Samadhinanu smaratadvicheshtitam. Enter into samadhi. And by entering into samadhi, by my blessings, you shall see the pastimes of the Lord, the beautiful Lord Shyama Sundar. And by describing his pastimes, your heart will be satisfied. So at the end of this, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam came as the sum and substance, Nigama Kalpataro. Kalpataro is Vedas, Veda Taroho, Nigama Kalpataro, the fruit, phalam, is Bhagavatam. So, this is the discussion around how Vyasadeva ultimately settled with not just the Vedas, dividing the Vedas, but ended up with creating Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, I will just touch on a few things that Prabhupada says in the purport. If you notice, Prabhupada says the twice born men are Brahmana, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. And one can only understand the Vedas if one is a very expert Brahmana. To understand the Vedas, to understand the literature, Vedic literature, one must, in fact, in the olden days, unless you have mastered the six Vidyas, starting with, you know, phonetics, Shiksha, Vyakrana, Jyotisha, etc., you cannot have entrance into the scriptures. So, it's very difficult. But then Prabhupada says, those who have fallen away from this path and simply are family members of the Brahmanas, they are called Dvijabandhus. And then he says, Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches for the sake of less intelligent class, like Dvijabandhus, Shudras and women. So Prabhupada, you know, calls the Dvijabandhus, the Shudras and the women as less intelligent. And one might wonder why Prabhupada is categorizing these three as less intelligent. Especially, you know, Shudras anyways, there are, in modern day, even in India, nobody treats anyone like a Shudra. And Dvijabandhu also. But women is a category that is, you know, it's a by birth, one is born in a particular body. So why is Prabhupada calling less intelligent? And I don't want to go into too much detail, but Prabhupada says, answers this question in the third canto, chapter 25, sorry, third canto, chapter 23, verse 54. In the purport, Prabhupada says, generally, all women desire material enjoyment. Generally, they are called less intelligent because they are mostly prone to material enjoyment. So it's, you see, the Dvijabandhus have fallen away from the path of the Brahmanas. And instead of being Dvija, they have become Dvijabandhus or the Shudras and even Vaishyas. They are generally interested in sense gratification or pleasures. And in fact, anyone who is prone to material enjoyment is categorized as less intelligent, not less intelligence in terms of the IQ. In fact, in the Independent newspaper last year, I think in July 2017, there was an article which said that women's IQ is 4 points lesser than men's IQ. And it created a big wave of, so, you know, and but this is not that intelligence that Prabhupada says. In fact, one of Prabhupada's disciples, she was, her father, Mr. Boyd, if I remember correctly, B-O-Y-D, Boyd. He came to see Prabhupada and he asked Prabhupada, I've heard in your movement that if you are a woman, you cannot attain liberation. And Prabhupada immediately retaliated. Who said? It is not so. Who said? Women or men? Both can serve Krishna. So this is not spiritual intelligence that we are talking about. This is less intelligent in the sense that more emotional and more prone to being satisfied with material pleasures. But actually the fact is this. In Kali Yuga, again the first canto of the Bhagavatam, first chapter verse number 10 says, in Kali Yuga, Everyone is less intelligent. Everyone. So actually in Kali Yuga we should not even think women are less intelligent. This purport Prabhupada is saying, and the four Vedas, this is talking about Satyuga. In Kali Yuga there is an overriding principle on top of all of these verses, which is first canto, first chapter, verse number 10, which says, Prayen Alpa Yusha Sabhya. So, sages of Naimisharanya are telling Suta Goswami that now in Kali Yuga, Prayena, generally speaking, Alpa Yushaha, everyone is dying early. Everyone. Kalau Asmin Yuge Janaha. In this Kali Yuga, everyone is short-lived. Mandaha. As if that was not enough, that one is short-lived. To add to the problem, they are mandaha, which means lazy. Your lifespan has reduced, and you are lazy on top of that. Sumanda matayoho. And on top of that, your intelligence is 1 billionth, one commentator says, 1 billionth, the intelligence is reduced by every day. 1 billionth every day in Kali Yuga. So by the end of Kali Yuga, a person is like a log of wood. Yeah? Every day 1 billion gone. Billion times. Huh? So, Sumanda Matayo. So first of all, short-lived, lazy, less intelligent, Mandabhagya, as if that is not enough. Mandabhagya. They have got the worst kind of fortune. Ill fortune. So everything they do, bad luck. Mandabhagya literally means they are, in Kali Yuga everyone has bad luck. You're born in Kali Yuga, then this you must have. What you must have? Bad luck. What you must have? Less intelligence. What you must have? Laziness. In the previous yugas, when they said, in Bhagavatam it is said, when Suta Goswami was, this is even beginning of Kali Yuga, only 100 years of Kali Yuga had passed, Suta Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam and everyone was fully attentive. And now, attention span, fraction of a second. Yeah. So, Mandabhagya, and last, Mandabhagya hi upadritaha, as if that is not enough, that everyone has bad luck. Upadritaha, on top of this bad luck, upadritaha, which means everyone is anxious and suffering. So, actually speaking, for Kali Yuga, one should not even waste time thinking like who is less intelligent, who is more intelligent. This is the worst for Kali Yuga. One should proudly say, I am less intelligent. I am lazy. I have bad luck. One should not think, oh. Why? This is the overriding principle. In the purport, Prabhupada says, one who does not know spiritual science, the art of spirituality, is less intelligent in reality. One who does not know the difference between spirit and matter is less intelligent. And you see, when one desires bhoga, when one desires fame, that makes one less intelligent. How? What is a pramana? Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, bhoga ishvarya prasaktanam. Bhoga and Aishwarya, those who are attracted to enjoyment, material enjoyment, and attracted to Aishwarya, opulence, and fame. See, when we see someone very opulent, wow, what a nice car, what a big house. Even if it is a devotee whom we see who is very opulent, Sridhar Swami says very nicely in another place, how a devotee thinks when he sees another devotee who is very opulent. Devotee thinks immediately, wow, my dear Prabhu, My dear Mataji, you are so fortunate. You have been graced by the mercy of the Lord, because of which you have been provided so much opulence. He immediately thinks that this is the mercy of the Lord. But if we become wowed by seeing the bhoga, aishwarya, enjoyment and opulence, taya prita chetasam, and our mind is stolen by this dazzling opulence and enjoyment, vevasatmika buddhihi, then the intelligence is no longer resolute. Samadhau na vidhiyate, Krishna says. That intelligence will not be fixed on bhakti. Prabhupada also says in the translation, if one is attracted to sense enjoyment and opulence. Whether you are men, women, whatever. So real intelligence is to be focused on vyavasatmika buddhi ekeha guru nandana, to be focused on the path of spiritual, to be serious and sincere. And that is the goal, to be serious and sincere. And that is why Vyasadeva created all these literatures, so that we may come to the point of being serious and sincere. As Prabhupada says in the purport, in second canto, third chapter, first verse purport, he says, in the human society all over the world, there are millions and billions of men and women, and almost all of them are less intelligent. All of them are less intelligent because they have very little knowledge of spirit soul. This is less intelligence. So one may say, oh, what about us? We are intelligent because we know about the spirit soul. Do you agree we are intelligent because we know about the spirit soul, right? Just see, although we know about the spirit soul, I was reciting this verse this morning when I was standing and praying. You know, what am I doing? Although I know the difference between spirit and matter, I know what is the difference, but what am I doing? After having the darshan of Lord Vishnu, Kardam Muni says a beautiful prayer to Lord Vishnu in the third canto of 21st chapter, verse 14. A beautiful prayer. And this is for us who are devotees, us who are on the path of devotional service. What are we really asking, Krishna? Ye mayayate hatame dadastvat. Those who are taken away by your maya, my Lord. Kardama Muni is telling Lord Vishnu, those who are still covered by your maya, my Lord. Tvat, they surrender. They are devotees. But they are still covered by your maya. But what do they do? Padaravindam bhavasindhupotam. They are surrendered to your Padaravindam. They are staying in the temple, they are going for preaching, they are doing book distribution, they are chanting their rounds, they are following the four regulative principles. Padaravindam, they are surrendered to your lotus feet, and your lotus feet are like a boat, potam, like a boat. Bhavasindhu potam, it's like a boat which will cross these devotees over from one bank to another. They will cross them over this ocean of samsara. However, what do they do? Upasate kama lavayate sham. Upasate, they worship you. They serve you. Kama lavaya, just for some trivial kama, just for some trivial desires. They worship you, but they have all these trivial desires. And they want these desires to be fulfilled. Like I was praying this morning. The snow is so bad, it reminded me, as I stepped out, it reminded me of Badrikashram, which is in the foothills of Himalayas, which is all white. If you go there, you will see. This is where Vyasadeva is from. So that is his home. And we are talking about Vyasadeva. And I was praying that I hope my scar doesn't skid. You know, I wasn't very confident. We are praying for so many things. In the Christian Bible, Prabhupada said, in the Christian Bible, my dear Lord, give us our daily bread. We are praying. So here, Kardam Muni says so sweetly, he says, Upasate kama lavayate sham. They have your lotus feet through by taking whose shelter they can cross over the samsara. But instead of that, they are now praying for some little trivial fulfillment of their trivial desires. And what do you do? What do you do? Rasisha. You give. You fulfill their desires. Kaman. You fulfill their desires. But the fact is, and this is like a punch in the face, the last line, Kardamuni says, the fact is, they surrender to you, they take shelter of your feet, they beg for some small things, and you fulfill their desires, but the fact is, Kaman niraye piyesyuhu, these desires can even be fulfilled by those in hell. So even in hell you get those enjoyments, and you ask for those enjoyments to the Lord, having surrendered to Him, instead of asking for Kevala Bhakti. Instead of Kevala Bhakti, we ask for fulfilling our desires. I will conclude by, there is much more to say, but I will conclude by saying one beautiful verse. Fifth canto, sixth chapter, verse number 18. Shukdev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that one who does not surrender to the Lord fully, or does not ask for Kevala Bhakti, would never get Bhakti. It is sincerity and seriousness without ulterior motive. It's a very tall order to be sincere, to be serious, and not have ulterior motives. Only then Krishna might give us bhakti. So Parikshit Maharaj, please listen carefully. This is the last verse and we'll stop. Parikshit Maharaj is wondering that I am born in the family of the Kurus. And the Lord appeared in the family of the Yadus. The Yadus are so fortunate. Lord Himself appeared in their family. But in my family, the Lord did not appear in my lineage. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that Shukdev Goswami, to make this, make Parikshit Maharaj understand the importance of pure bhakti, he says, your family is even more important, more elevated, because in your family the five Pandavas were born. And who are these Pandavas? What is their status? They have bhakti. Now listen carefully. The Lord has six opulences, right? What are the six opulences? He's full of strength, knowledge, wealth, beauty, fame and renunciation. Six. The Lord of six opulences performed six duties for your family members, the Pandavas. Rajan patir guru ralam bhavatam yadunam. Rajan, O King Parikshit, your family members, the Pandavas, are so brilliant, they are so fortunate, that the Lord Himself was their patihi. Pati means protector. The Lord, who has all strength, became protector personally of your family members. Guruhu. The Lord, who is of full knowledge, became the guru of your family members. Alam bhavatam yadunam, of yours and Yadus. Daivam. He who has who is full of wealth became the deity who gives opulence for your family. He himself became the deity for your family who is full of wealth. Priyaha, he who is the most attractive, full of the most attractive, most beautiful, he became Priyaha of your family. He became the beloved of your family. Kulapati hi kvacha. Kulapati means the protector of the family lineage. He who has all fame protected the fame of your family lineage. He applied the Lord of six qualities, applied his six qualities in full. And the last word is kvacha kinkarai vaha kinkaraha. Kimkaraha means, and the Lord, who is full of renunciation, was willing to give up his position as the supreme and become a mere kinkaraha. Kimkaraha means a servant. Kim means what? Karaha means to do. Kimkaromi. A servant is always asking, what can I do for you, my master? Kimkaromi. So a servant is called kinkaraha. Kimkaraha. He is always asking, what shall I do? Krishna, and Prabhupada says in the translation, Krishna simply acted like an ordinary servant. The master of all renunciation renounced his own position as the Supreme Lord and acted as the servant of your family members. This is the glory of your family. Astu eva manga bhagavan bhajatam mukunda. One who worships Mukunda, this is the glory of that person. But the challenge is, muktim dadati karhichit. The Lord may give mukti. Smana bhakti yogam, but does not give bhakti. Unless one is sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives, the Lord will give even mukti. Muktim dadati karhichit. He may even give mukti, liberation. Sma na bhakti yoga. But he will not give loving devotional service that he gave to your family members. So this is the goal of this verse. The goal of Vyasadeva. The goal of Vyasadeva was to ensure that everyone in Kali Yuga, and for that matter all the Yugas, surrender unto the Lord and attain the bhakti of the Lord. So today is a special day after Gaur Purnima, Jagannath Mishra festival in Mayapur. It's celebrated with a very, you know, in a very grand manner. Just like Nandotsav is celebrated after Janmashtami. And the Lord appeared himself in this world again as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us the most easy process of getting enlightened. As Mother Devahuti says to Lord Kapila also in 3rd canto, verse 33, chapter 7, she says that one who chants the holy names of the Lord, we saw that, you know, people who are less intelligent, Vaishya, Shudra, Dvijabandhus, let us not get into that. Life is very short and a lot needs to be done. And we have a long, long, long way to go. Sakshi Gopal Prabhu, one Prabhupada disciple, he wrote a song once glorifying Prabhupada, in which he says, one of the lyrics, he says, we have a long, long way to go. I've got a long, long way to go. And that's true. But even if one is born in the lowest of the family, less intelligent, in Kali Yuga, full of bad luck, Mother Devahuti tells Kapila Muni, Aho batashva pachoto gariyan. Even one who is from a dog eater's family is so great. He is the most fortunate. Yajivhagre vartate namatubhyam. If on his tongue, on the tip of his tongue, he has your holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please understand that before this person could chant your holy name, Te Pustapaste, he has performed all tapasyas you can think of. Juhuvuhu, he has performed all yadnas. No need to perform tapasyas, yadnas and other things. You know, these Ashwamedha yadnas and all these things, no need to perform them. Sasnuhu, he has taken bath in every tirtha in the universe. Arya, Brahmanuchuhu, he has studied all the Vedas. Vyasadeva is speaking about the Vedas, he has studied all the Vedas. Nama grinanti yete, those who take the holy name of the Lord, please consider them to have performed all tapasyas, to have performed all the yadnas, to have taken bath in all holy places, and to have studied all the Vedas. That is why she says, even if such a person is Chandala, a dog eater's family, as soon as he has taken the holy name of the Lord, as soon as he has developed the sincerity and the seriousness, immediately he becomes the best of all. I'll stop here. Always a lot more to say. Mahaprabhu came to give us this mercy. So let us please, the life is short. As Shruti Ramaprabhu was saying yesterday, one of my godbrothers, Shyam Vallabh Prabhu, left his body in a very shocking, you know, he was fit and fine, a doctor by profession, and he was driving down in a buggy, and the buggy, he himself was driving in a buggy in the night, and there was darkness, and somehow there was an accident, and the security guards noticed that the buggy had toppled over down the hill into the rocks, and the buggy had fallen on top of him. He was 42 years old, as a young family, living in Vrindavan originally, moved to Vada. He was just coming back after seeing his spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And on returning down in the buggy, just after discussing Maharaj and convincing Maharaj to stay in Vada to take the treatment. Anyway, so, and then, you know, he was no more. So, life is very short to wrangle and fight and criticize and think ill of others, and it seems, or to even pray, my dear Lord, please make sure that my car doesn't skid on the way back home. It's too short. Let it skid. Let me go. But give me Kevala Bhakti. Just that is the prayer. And let me never stop chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.